Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
We are in our Power to Live Well series, and this is session six entitled The Power to Trust. What we've been doing in this series is we've been looking at truths from the Bible that if we will apply those truths in our lives, they will make dramatic impact in how we live day to day, that we'll actually live better. And I just think that the one we're going to look at today might be the strongest point out of any of them that we could make, that we're going to make in this series. Now, what I want to kind of do is a little bit of an intro here, is I just want to talk about the thought process today of trusting God as the surest way to live, as the most sure, the most confident, the most sure-footed way that we can walk, the way that we can live. And I want to, in this session, I want to save you lots and lots of trouble in your life by giving you the little heads up that if you'll walk according to trusting the Lord instead of trusting in anything else, you will save yourself so many problems. And I know that the exhausting way to live is to have to lean on our own self, to trust ourself, to trust circumstances to work out right, to trust that the things are just going to go a certain way, to trust that we're going to be able to make it, we're going to be able to make it work, our understanding is going to be enough, our capabilities, our capacities, our bandwidth, our relationships. To trust in ourself is exhausting. And the problem is, in our culture, we are trained to trust in ourselves. And so we're actually trained to live exhausted. But the kingdom of God teaches us that we should trust in the Lord and not trust in ourselves, not trust in all the things that our culture is continually telling us, trust yourself, all the self-help, books, all the gurus out there, everybody is always saying, be a better you and trust in yourself, you can do it. And it's actually an exhausting way to live, and it's not the way that we were intended to live. The Lord has a much better plan for us and a much more trustworthy source for us to put our trust and our hope in. And so what I want to do today is I want to save you thousands and thousands of difficulties by giving you what the Word has to say about who to trust and how to do it. So that's going to be the game plan here. What the saving of all those difficulties really winds up doing in this session that we're going to be talking about, the power to trust the Lord, is it's a better way to live. It's a different way to live. I'm telling you, it is a different way than the culture around us lives. I mean, even the Christian culture around us. To live trusting the Lord with our day-to-day decisions, with our everything, and we'll break that down. I'm giving you a little bit of an intro. To live trusting Him, it is a better, richer, more fulfilling, more satisfying, more peace-filled way to live than to live the rat race of trusting in ourself or even trusting, that others are going to make things work for us. We want to trust the Lord. And I want to be able to give that to you today. Now, we know the verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We talked a little bit about it in the series already, but I just want to remind us that you are now a new thing. You are a new creation. And you are not the old creation. If you have the Holy Spirit living in you, if you've given your life to Jesus, you live according to a different set of rules, or at least you can. You are a new creation. You don't have to live like that lost person lives. You don't have to process life and filter life like someone who has no hope, like someone who doesn't have the Holy Spirit. You don't have to live like them. You can live better. You can live different. You can live in a completely different realm because you are a new creation, the Word says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. But what we've been talking about in this series is the difference between having access to power and utilizing that power. It is a completely different thing for this building to have electricity and for us to turn the lights on. You can have a building with all the electricity you want. If you don't ever actually go turn those lights on, if you don't apply the switches, if you don't plug the thing in, it doesn't matter that you've got all the power in the world because you're not even touching it. And this series, what we're doing in this Power to Live Well series, we're talking about different light switches and how to turn them on. And specifically, we're talking about ways that impact us every day. Ways that we have access to that can change our life, can change the way we process, the way we have all of our relationships. We're talking about ways that can make dramatic impact in our daily lives, but only if we will take that biblical principle and do it. And we are just kings and queens of knowing Bible verses and not doing them. And it doesn't do you any good to know it and not do it. It's the building with the power, but not turning on the light switch. It doesn't do us any good at all. So what we're trying to do in this series is make it make so much sense to turn those light switches on, or to, in what we're talking about, to apply kingdom principles. Simple kingdom concepts that are in the Bible. We look at it, we go, yep, that's right. And then we begin to apply it in our life so that our life can be better, so that our life can actually live out the power of God. That's what we're doing in this series. So I want to talk about the power to trust the Lord, the power to trust. And so if we can put up that that Hosea verse, Hosea 14, verse 9, I want to talk about for a second the rightest ways known to man, the rightest, the most right. Now, obviously, all of us would not wake up in the morning and go, I really want to live a messed up life. I just cannot wait for my life to be in shambles, a total mess, and falling apart. I just can't wait. What can I do today to make my life miserable? All of us wake up with an objective in our heart to live well, to make right decisions, to make paths and to walk out purposes that are good, that are going to yield us a good life, that are going to walk according to the purposes of the Lord. That's kind of like in our heart. The problem is if we try to accomplish the best plans out of our own thoughts, out of our own desires, our own ambitions, we can't possibly land on the best path because the Lord's ways are just so much better than ours. He's smart. He has good ideas. And so when we try to mingle our desires, our ideas with his, it gets all muddy. It gets all messy. And so what I want to talk about here is the decisions that we make apart from the counsel of God. This message this morning could really be just narrowed down to that statement. The decisions we make apart from the counsel of God. God is the wisest. He has the best plans. He has the best counsel. So when we make decisions that weren't consulting the Lord, that we didn't get his thought processes, that we knew what he wanted and we did it our way instead, we're living in a total folly. Like, we are walking in a way that is not the best plan. But why would we do that when we're thinking soberly, when we're thinking, you know, just with a straight mind? We know that the Lord's ways are better. He's smarter. He's got things more crisply worked out. He's playing chess on 10-dimensional levels, you know, a table. He's so brilliant. He's so smart. We want to make our decisions according to the rightest ways that are known and available to mankind. And those ways are not your ways. Those ways are not your thoughts. Those ways are not your desires. You will never yield the best life that you can have by walking according to your thing, your thoughts, your purposes, your plans, your desires. We want to submit to the Lord's ways because the way of the Lord is right. And you can't say that about your way. You can't say that about your thoughts. You can't say that about your desires, but we can say it about the Lord. Look at this verse. This is awesome. Who is wise? Then let them realize these things. What things? Who is discerning? Let them understand. Okay, get to it, Hosea. What is it? What is this mystery? What are you trying to say that there's wisdom for those who want wisdom, for those who need to realize like the most profound truths? What is it? What are you talking about? The ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous walk in them. We want to walk in the ways of the Lord. Now, the reason I'm focusing on the ways of the Lord over and above our ways is because as a default, we don't trust God's ways. We don't like God's ways. We don't look to God's ways. And the Bible says that's folly. Wisdom is to trust in the sure ways of God. To know what those ways are and then to do them. To lay down our ways, lay down our thoughts, lay down our objectives and decisions and go, I'm not going to make decisions outside of the sure counsel of God. I'm going to follow the ways of the Lord because the ways of the Lord are right. See, I'm not trying to preach at us this morning. I'm trying to make our lives better. I mean, my objective in this series is really to try to help you in the areas of your life and help me where there's brokenness. I'm trying to help you fix brokenness because nobody likes to live jacked up. I'm trying to help us operate in a better pathway forward. And what the best way is that the Word of God tells us is the ways of the Lord. They are right, and the righteous walk in them. So my hope here today is to try to convince us of that point and then tell us a little bit about what that looks like. I don't want to just, you know, talk ways of the Lord and you all leave here and go, ways of the Lord are great. What the heck is a way? What is that even? How do I, man, let's get a hamburger. I mean, like I would prefer you to actually have some practical application. So I'm going to get there, I promise. In this session, we want to know how to operate in the power that can be released into our life by trusting God. That's the hope. This is in contrast to our natural inclination to trust ourselves, really to trust everything but God. Our natural plan is to not think about God's ways, to not think about what God wants, God's objectives. Our natural inclination is just to kind of do whatever it is we're thinking or feeling or wanting. And that'll get us in so much trouble. Well, it's not that your life will be like totally horrible. It's just it can't possibly be the best that it could be. You can't possibly walk in the ways of God and walk in your own ways at the same time. It just won't work. We want to learn how to be strong in the power of God. We want to operate in the power of God, lean into God's power, lean into God's authority, lean into God's understanding, and then live a life out of that power instead of out of your insignificant power. Like, what power do you have living within you in and of yourself apart from God? Like, you don't want to live out of your power. Let's put that verse up about out of Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. We want to learn how to be strong in God's mighty power. Not our own capacities, our own ability, not in our own self-reliance. We want to learn how to be strong in his mighty power. And I think that that has a significant connection to not trusting in our own ways, but trusting in his ways. The ways that he lays out in his word and other sources as well. We'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But the primary source of God's ways are in his word. And we want to be those that trust in his word, trust in his power, that he's smart. See, here's the problem. We all want like to live the best life that we can. Like all of us that are still here on the planet would prefer that the rest of our days, weeks, months, and years be good days, weeks, months, and years. Like who wants a horrible life? But if we make decisions outside of God's plan, the trajectory for our life is horribleness. The trajectory of our life is not all that we can have. We want to learn to trust his way is better. If I want to live the absolute best life I can, I want to trust he knows what that is way better than I know what that is. We want to trust that he has a better solution, a better plan, a better strategy of our day-to-day, of our big decisions, of our seasons. We want to trust that the Lord's plans, purposes, agenda, and life for us is way, way better than whatever cool ideas we could come up with, even on our best day. Like you at your best is still going to be totally dumb by comparison to the ways of the Lord. But it's a gap between recognizing those ways are best and choosing them. See, we can know what's best and totally not access that power because we choose instead our own ways. We trust ourselves. We just dismiss the purposes of the Lord. We want to be strong in His power, in His agenda, in His ways. Well, I want to talk for just a minute about doubt, because I would call doubt the absence of trust. All right? And this doubt and trust are both pretty powerful things. When you're walking in trust, you could say walking in faith. When you're walking in trust, you feel empowered. You feel emboldened. You know? It's pretty cool. Doubt is also very powerful, but it's powerful the other way. It's what takes a very strong person and makes them feeble and crying on the ground. Doubt can totally just diminish your strength. Doubt can take you out of the plans of God. Doubt can just make you feel so small and confused and unable. Doubt is powerful. It's a bad deal, because doubt has so much authority if you give it authority. And then you wind up not being able to make decisions. You wind up confused. You wind up off course. Again, doubt is the absence of trust. Trust causes us to be steadfast and unmovable. Doubt, however, causes us fear and instability. Doubt lurks about trying again and again to gain a foothold in our life to take us out of trust. Doubt again and again. It's not the kind of thing that you conquer once and then you're done. Doubt comes at you again and again, and it's trying to take you out of trusting God. Well, but if you do this, then this is going to happen. Well, if you trust God, then you won't get this thing you want. Well, if you do, see, doubt comes again and again, and it's powerful. The reason I know it's powerful is because all of us in this room have struggled and even given in to doubt again and again and again. Why would we do that if it doesn't have any power? If it's just easy to dismiss, it's no big deal. It's a powerful tool of the enemy. It's even a powerful tool of our own fallen state. Sometimes I don't even think it's the devil trying to get me to doubt. Sometimes I'm trying to talk myself out of something. Sometimes I'm even my own soul is trying to get me to doubt, because I really want the thing I want to do. I really want to get that thing or go to that thing or stop doing the thing. I really want something, and so I'm even causing my own self to doubt that the Lord's way is a better way. And we got to fight that thing off. We got to fend it off. Well, the first kind of practical point of how do we trust the Lord, I think we've got to learn where we're weakest in the areas of doubt. Some of you like never doubt about one area, but you totally doubt about another. So maybe you're strong in, you know, I'm good with my finances, but you're really bad with trusting the Lord with that relationship. You know, some of you, it's like, okay, well, you're really good in you know, the area of trusting the Lord, you know, at work. But man, when you get home, you just don't have any faith at all that the Lord will take care of you at home. Or man, you're fearful about this or doubted about that. Find the areas where you're doubting and talk to the Lord about them. This, you don't have to live gripped in doubt and fear and anxiety for the rest of your life. Instead, search yourself out and find out where are the areas where I struggle in the area of doubt. Like I'm not trusting the Lord in that area of my life. Where is that? And talk to the Lord about it and ask Him for help. He will help you. The best thing you can do to doubt is shine a big old flashlight on it. Instead of trying to hide and pretend like everything's good, talk to the Lord straight up about that area that you're doubting. And the Lord will then empower you to overcome that doubt. So I want to encourage you, identify your doubt, identify where you're weakest, and then ask Him to help you. It's important that we know that if we lean on anything besides the Lord, that thing will disappoint us. Maybe it won't disappoint us day one, but at some point it will disappoint. And all of us have got some things that if we're not careful, we begin to lean on and trust in. Well, I don't need the Lord in that area of my life because I've got this, this, and this. Maybe it's financial security. Maybe it's, you know, a job. Maybe it's a point of importance. Maybe you're, you know, you're well-liked. Maybe it's your education. Maybe it's how quick-witted you are. Maybe it's whatever you think you've got. If you lean on that and go, I don't need God here because I'm good. I got this. That will eventually cause you great harm. That will be a crutch that breaks one day when you really needed it. We cannot lean on things other than the Lord and it wind up okay long term. Short term, you might make it a day, a week, a month, a year, But at some point, whatever we lean on that isn't the Lord, whatever we trust in, whatever we've got faith in, that's going to be great. It's no problem. I've got that covered. Whatever it is that we think we've got eventually is going to wind up disappointing us. Now, I want to give you some pitfalls of self-reliance, okay? Because I was just processing this and I was like, I think that most of the ways that in our culture, I think most of the ways that we wind up not trusting the Lord is because we try to lean on our own self. We try to do it our own way. I think that's a strong point. It may not be 100%, but I just want to tell us that our trust, if our trust is in us and not in God, then we're in charge of that area, not God. If we trust God, then God's in charge. If we trust us, then we're in charge. The problem is that seat was always God's seat. And if you put yourself in it, you got some big shoes to fill. And I want to tell you some of the pitfalls of self-reliance, okay? Let's put that verse up, Galatians 2:20. You know, this is one of my favorites. But this is so real in this particular thought process. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. It's not me anymore. I'm not in charge. I'm not the decision maker. But Christ lives in me. Now, you just imagine like being possessed by Christ. He's now in charge of this vessel, okay? It's his to do with what he wants. That's the right way. When you take the steering wheel back, now you're in charge. That's bad. The life I live in the body, the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, or you could say trust. I live by faith in the Son of God. I live by trust in Jesus, his plans, his purposes, his desires for my life. I no longer live according to my own self-reliance. I now live by faith in the way God has, the what God has, the person God wants me to be, the stuff God wants me to do. That's now my life. I no longer live. It's now like Christ took over, and now we just do whatever he wants. And that's the safest place to be, and it'll be the best place. Because if you have to decide what is best for your life, you will fall so short of what God wanted to do with your life. He's so much bigger, smarter, better. And so the game plan here is that we would not live self-reliant. But when we do, when we decide, oh, God, I'll give you these areas, but I'm going to trust myself in this area. Let me tell you what you've just done in that area. And pray to the Lord you only got one. Because if you got 20, glory, hallelujah. Every area of self-reliance, you are in charge now of making it all work and keeping it working. That is exhausting. That's exhausting. If God says, have this job, and you say, no, I'm going to have this job, you now have to figure out how to make that job work because God had you over here. If God wants you in this zip code and you're in that zip code, you got to figure out how to make this zip code work. If you're supposed to be in this relationship and you're in that one instead, if you're supposed to be walking in this path and instead you take this path, if you're supposed to, all those different things, it's exhausting because God had a game plan for you over here, but you're over here. And now you got to do over here. You got to figure it out. You got to run the show. It's exhausting. You'll distance yourself from God because you took his job. In the area of self-reliance, where you're like, no, God, I know your way and I don't want it. I got this. You just put yourself in the seat he's supposed to be sitting in, and that seat is part of your communication and interaction with God. You just kicked him out of a part of your life. You're going to actually wind up driving a wedge between yourself and the Lord because you told the Lord, Lord, I don't want you being Lord in that area of my life. I don't want you there. I got this. That's exhausting. You can't possibly do a 100th of as good of a job as God would do. So not only do you now have the exhausting responsibility to do this and to run this and to take care of this and to make it work yourself, you also can't possibly yield even 100th as good of a return as what God would have done with him being in charge instead of you. You'll chase wrong paths and eventually have to repent anyway. Like, don't we know that though? Like if we're facing the decision, it's like, nope, I'm not going to do God's way. Don't we know in our spirit, like don't we hear the Holy Spirit whispering to us, you're just going to have to repent of this eventually. Like, if you want me, you're eventually going to have to actually do a U-turn on that decision. Haven't we seen enough of those in our life where we're like, we walk down that path long enough, and then we're like, okay, fine, I give up. And we turn around, and it's like just some time wasted, energy wasted. I mean, it's exhausting. See, listen, what I want for you is I want to save you all that trouble. I don't want you to have to walk through all that. But it comes down to you've got to trust the Lord's way is better than yours. You've got to believe that. I mean, your way was going to get you to hell. His way was to bring you into truth and light into the kingdom. That's a much better way. It's the same thing all the rest of our life. Your way is just as bad and dumb. And his way is so much better. He's got a plan, but it does require us to submit to his way. We got to trust in the Lord. And that trust, it's not a prayer. It's not a statement. It's not a t-shirt. That trust is an actual taking steps according to what we know is right and good and true. The ways of the Lord are right. And we got to trust him. You waste so much time. You belong to God. You are God's workmanship. Do it his way. His way is better. His way is so much better. I'm going to use a term, having an active trust. An active trust. And I'll make that different or distinct from where we say we're trusting the Lord, but we're not taking steps that are on that path, that are in agreement. We give lip service. I want to talk about having an active trust where we're not being dictated by our circumstances. We're not being, blown back and forth by all the difficulties of life. Instead of being blown around by circumstances, instead of being blown around by our emotions, instead of being dictated by, what others are doing, what others are saying, instead, we're stable because we have an active trust that trusts the Lord no matter what. I'm going to read this verse out of James 1:6. It's one that we know. You must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Just think about how intangible a wave is. It's being blown around. It's like, is that the way? Well, it's gone. It's over there. Oh, it's up, down. It's just all over the place. Like, imagine your life as a steady lighthouse as opposed to a wave being blown around. James here is telling us that the differentiation between a life that is stable and sure and a life that's blown around has everything to do with doubt. If we live in doubt instead of in belief, if we make our decisions in doubt instead of in trust, if we make those decisions that way, then we're going to be blown around all over the place. Our life isn't going to make any sense. We're going to live unfulfilled. We're going to live confused. It's going to seem disconjoined. We're going to feel like our life is just kind of like a wave. Like, we're just kind of all over the place. That's a miserable way to live. We don't have to live that way. Listen, I want to tell you, if some of these words this morning are sounding like, well, that sounds a little bit like me, you don't have to stay that way. You can fix that today. Like, the hope in all this is not, well, you're stuck, wavers. You guys are just a bunch of wavers. You don't have to be that way. Like, you can totally make the shift in 1 second. You don't have to wait till the end of the message. You can do it right now. Go, God, I want to trust your way. Show me your ways. I'm doing your way. I don't care what it costs me. I'm doing your way. See, the problem is when we do it our way, it costs us so much more than whatever the cost is if we do it his way. But we just have such a small perspective that we look at his ways, and sometimes he's asking something of us in order to step out into his plan. And we choose to not do it because it looks costly. I'm telling you, it's way more costly to do it your way. All right, so let's talk about some foundations to trust in, okay? The first, to trust that the word of God is right. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. It refreshes the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise even you simpletons. Even me, simpleton. The ways of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, they're trustworthy. They can even make the simple wise. The word of the Lord is trustworthy. It's trustworthy about what sin is and what sin isn't. It's trustworthy about the way to live. The word of God is trustworthy about what's good and what's not. His word is the instruction manual for us. We want to trust the word. Now listen, I'm trying to get you to see something here. All of you this week or last week or next week have seen or will see something in the word where you look at it and you go, I don't know about that. I don't know if I actually want to do that. I don't know if I actually believe that. I don't know if I actually want to embrace that. That seems costly. I'm not sure I like that. His ways are trustworthy. The word is right. You are wrong. Your accusations in your heart are wrong. What you've been told is wrong. The ways of the Lord are right. His Bible is trustworthy. It is the truth, and you can lean on it. Next, trust that he is there and he is aware. Let's read Psalm 9, verse 10. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. It is important that we live our life like God is real. He is real. He is trustworthy. He is there. He's aware. He's watching. He's listening. He cares about you in this moment. He can intervene at any second he wants to. A God who is real and alive and active can move at any second if he decides to. We want to live our life trusting that God is really there. Because if you live like, I don't know, maybe he's out there. He doesn't really seem. If you don't live with the reality of God, it is incredibly difficult to trust the ways of a God who you believe is far off and uninvolved. We want to live with the foundational trust. He is there. Those who know your name, they trust in you. Why do they trust in you? Because you've never forsaken those that trust you, that seek you, that love you. You don't forsake. You are there. We want to trust he is who he says he is. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? We want to trust that what the word of God says about God's character is true. Here's what we need to do. In those moments where your heart is going, God is not good. God is not a provider. God does not care about me. God, when those accusations are coming, you have to tell them to shut up. And you have to agree with what the word says. The word of God says, God is good. God is a father. God does care about your best. God is interested in your life. You've got to believe these things, because if you don't trust what the word of God says about who God is, then you're going to have to make up your own version of God's character. And can you just imagine what a terrible version of God you and I would come up with? I mean, God knows who God is. Let's trust God's definition of God instead of us coming up with our own version. But that's what we do when we give into accusations that say something about God that the Bible says is the exact opposite. We want to trust that God is who he says he is. He's good. He's perfectly wise. He's all powerful. He is the best leader. We want to trust that he'll do what he'll say he'll do. We just read this verse and it says, does God promise and not fulfill? Oh no, he does what he says he will do. We want to trust that he will do what he says he'll do. He cannot lie. If he spoke it to you, he will do it. This is who God is. Let's put up that verse out of Habakkuk 2, verse 3. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. So many times in our life, the Lord speaks something, and it is his purpose, it is his plan, it is true, but it awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Will not delay when it's supposed to come. See, the Lord does what he says he'll do. He's got plans. He's got purposes. He's got dates circled on his calendar that he's got in your life. We want to trust that he will do what he'll say he'll do. Listen, let me tell you what happens when God speaks something to us, either from the word or in our spirit, or he's said something to us prophetically, and we knew it was the Lord. Like, we heard it was like, that's God. When God has said something to us about our life, about our future, about who we are, about what's supposed to happen, and we dismiss it, we're dismissing the purposes and the plans of the Lord for our life. God will do what he'll say he'll do. We've got to trust the Lord. We've got to trust that what he says, he will do it even if there is a delay. We got to trust that his plan is right. His plan, not our plans. Put up that Psalm 33, verse 11. The plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generation. We want to trust that the plans of the Lord are right and that they will stand firm if we walk according to them. Here's what I mean by that. Sometimes we come up on a decision and it looks like, I don't know, if I do that, that one looks like that might fall apart. If I walk that way, that one looks like a few steps down the road, that one's going to just kind of dissolve. It's not going to work out. I'm going to get hurt. It just looks like that's not going to work. The plans of the Lord, how could the Lord come up with a plan that's broken? How could the Lord come up with a plan that isn't going to work? How could the Lord come up with a plan that is faulty? The plans of the Lord are firm. We want to trust the plans of the Lord. They are firm. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and to give you a future. The Lord has plans for us. We want to trust those plans. I can tell you, there have been so many times in my life that I wanted to go left, and the Lord said, go right. And when I went right in trust, in faith, I didn't like right. I liked left. I was going to go left. And I went right, and I was like, I just know the Bible well enough to know if I just do it, it's going to work out. I got married because the Lord said, this is a great woman. You ought to marry her. It's the greatest idea ever, and totally not mine. I was going to stay single for the rest of my life. The Lord had a much better plan. I mean, a much better plan. I marvel over it over and over again. I'll come to a decision. I really want to go left. I'm like, I know, I like left. And the Lord's like, I want you to go right. Every single time, I marvel at the wisdom of God because his plans are gold. His plans are so much better than yours. So much better, but they're brilliant. They're so much well thought, better thought through. You're only thinking through like 1% of the plan, and God is thinking about how it plays into eternity, how it affects millions of people, how it affects the next 30 years, 50 years of your life. I mean, God is thinking so much deeper, further, longer, better. There are children that are a part of this church that wouldn't have existed if I'd have done my plan. Those kids are awesome and funny and a little rambunctious. I'm telling you, his plan is better, but you got to trust it. And typically what we do is we come up to a decision, and we kind of like bargain and talk with the Lord. It's folly. We need to lose immediately. The best way you can live is come up to that decision, identify what you want, and throw it out instantly. I will not do what I want. No matter what, I won't do what I want. If it happens that God wants what I want, I'll do what God wants. I'm not doing what I want. You're an idiot. I love you. You're just like me. You are not smart. You are not wise. You don't have the ability to figure it all out. You're just dust. But the Holy Spirit can make you walk in the power of God. You can live above the fray. You can live in an unbelievable way. You can live a power-filled life if you submit your plans to the Lord and go, I am not doing what I want. I will not make the decision according to my own understanding. I will walk in trust that the Lord's ways are better, smarter, more fulfilling, that they're a better way to live. I'm going to end with this. We know we should not make our decisions out of fear. We should not make our decisions out of self-trust. We should not make our decisions out of alternative counsel. The Lord has a counsel, but your best friend says something different. The Lord has a counsel, but your favorite TV show says something different. The Lord has a counsel, but you know, whoever, culture says something different. We can't make our decisions according to alternative counsel. We've got to make our decisions according to the Lord. We need to make our decisions in faith. Let's put those verses up there. Hebrews 10:38 and 2 Corinthians 5:7, the last verses on there. We need to make our decisions in faith. This is how we're to live. Look at this verse. My righteous one will live by faith. Not just get saved by faith. Not just have those moments of faith. They're going to live. They're going to trust as a lifestyle. My righteous one will live by faith. The way we're supposed to make our decisions is in faith. A decision made without faith is folly. We want to make our decisions in trust of the Lord. This is the direction that the Lord has. This is what the Lord wants. This is the direction that the Word of God says I'm supposed to go. This is the leading of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I just know it. This is the way I'm supposed to go. We want to live by faith. 2 Corinthians says similarly, we live by faith and not by sight. Sight says, my circumstances tell me I should do this. But faith says I should do this. And these things are different. We make the decision by faith and not by our sight, not by our circumstances. To live by faith and not by sight means we come to a decision and all of the people around us think we should go left. But we know that the Bible says go right. We know it. It's like the word says I'm supposed to do this. How could that possibly? Well, this will be more fun. This will give you more of this or more of that. This is a better way. But we make our decisions not by what we see with our eyeballs. We make our decisions by faith. Now listen, my whole message, this whole purpose is so that we would come to make our decisions according to trusting the Lord and not trusting somebody else, not trusting our own desires, not trusting our own understanding, our own experience. We would trust the Lord because if you do, you'll live powerfully. I can tell you that I made a major mistake. I mean a major one about 18 years ago in the Lord. It was just like I knew the Lord was telling me to go left and I just could not trust him. I was so young in my faith. I didn't know this message. Nobody ever preached this one to me. I wish I'd have had me then, you know, this message. That'd have been good. I'd listen to myself. But I came up upon this decision and I just didn't see in the natural. All I could see was my circumstances. All I could see was with my eyes. I did not know how to trust the Lord. I didn't know how to make a decision out of faith where it looked crazy. And I came across this decision and I made like this totally wrong decision. It wasn't a sinful decision. It was just a direction decision in my life. The Lord was making it really clear. Go left. And I was like, but right looks pretty good, Lord. Right looks this. I took that decision, that step. I went right instead. And I immediately just felt, I grieved the Holy Spirit. I just immediately was like, oh my gosh, I was filled with just remorse. I felt the distance that I just created between me and God because I took his chair. I was like, okay, well, I'm going to do it my way. I just felt that. And I'll just tell you, I said, Lord, I'll take it back. I'll do, you know, this. And the kindness of the Lord, Lord is so wild in that decision that I just knew was totally wrong. I heard the Lord. I was like, okay, Lord, I'll go back. I'll fix it. I won't do this thing anymore. And I immediately heard the Lord say, plan B is the new plan A. Don't go back. I will now make it here. And it actually was me moving to Arlington. I should never have moved to Arlington. The Lord told me very clearly, do not move to Arlington. So there wouldn't be a foreigner fellowship. There wouldn't be a prayer room. I wouldn't have met my wife. The Lord made it so clear I wasn't supposed to do that. I was not supposed to move to Arlington. He had a different plan for me. And I said, Lord, what do I do? I'll take it back. And I heard the Lord say, plan B is the new plan A. The Lord in his kindness, this is such good news for us. The Lord in his kindness can fix every stupid thing you ever do. So if you've done stupid things, the Lord can totally fix it. The Lord can redeem it. Just start over. Just start fresh right now. Whatever you've done, whatever decisions, whatever steps, just go back to the Lord and put him before him and go, okay, I'll do it your way. I'll trust you. I'll do it your way. Just tell me what to do. I'll do whatever you want. And the Lord in his kindness, oh, he pours out such grace and such mercy. And I'll tell you this, from that moment forward, I mean, because this message to me is one of my like life messages because it messed me up so bad when I was 18 or 19 years old. It messed me up so bad because of this whole decision I just told you about. I told the Lord, I will never do that again. If I know you're leading left, I will not go right ever again. And by his grace, I have not. Now, the reason I share that detail, I live with such peace. I live with such power because I know the steps that I'm taking are sure-footed steps from the Lord. It's such a powerful way to live. I don't have to live like a wave tossed this way or that. I don't have to wonder, is this what, am I doing right? Or it's just, I'm right where the Lord wants me because I'm making the decisions according to the leadership of the Lord, trusting in Him instead of trusting in myself, instead of trusting in circumstances, instead of trusting in what looks better. I want to give that to you as a gift. It is so much better. The Lord desires good things for your life. But for you to experience all those good things, you're going to have to make many, many, many decisions that are going to look like, I don't know if this is going to work out for me. Many decisions where the Lord is going to make it clear through the Bible, through His Holy Spirit leading you. He's going to make it clear that His direction is this way, and you're going to really want to go the other direction. You just can't. Just don't do it. I mean, it's not that you can't. It's just that it's worse. Your way is worse. Maybe that's a tattoo everybody should get. My way is worse. Okay? The Lord has a better plan, a better purpose.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.